Good evening and welcome everyone to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael, so glad you could be with us this evening for a special annual show. It's the day before league championship night in the Lehigh Valley, and we are honored once again to have some great basketball minds from the coaching profession and from the media to give their take on the Colonial League boys and girls and the EPC boys and girls, the playoffs so far. We'll talk a little bit about the regular season. We'll preview the championship games tomorrow, which you'll be able to see right here on RCN TV, and then maybe a little district basketball talk if we have time later on. So let's introduce our special panel tonight. From left to right across the desk, we have Kyle Hutnick, head basketball coach at Penargill, Joe Jarjuice, head basketball coach from Deerup, Megan Kane, former high school basketball coach and assistant at DeSales University, and of course the co-host of the program, senior sports writer at The Morning Call, Mr. Keith Groller. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for coming in. I try to rotate having different people each year, and I didn't realize we had the same rotation except for Keith from a couple years ago. But I thank all of you for coming in here and sharing some time with us. Who won the pool, by the way? Keith got here at 6:59.
So. I broke a record, I think, for red lights.
Well, Joe said you kept him waiting, so we were going to keep you outside for 45 minutes because you stood him up.
He owes me a half hour.
You paid me back. I was at the gym at 5 o'clock this year. Always nice to visit Dick Schmidt Gymnasium.
And by the way, people that were watching our broadcast of the EPC semifinal, you saw Tom Stout hang Joe Jarjuice out to dry here by showing a picture of when, I'm quoting Tom, when Joe had hair. Which is funny for Tom to say. So, Joe, he took a couple shots at you, too. Do you want to answer back?
I have the picture, and I still have hair. So, Tommy, I mean, he did have hair back then, but we've all seen Tommy lately. So
how long ago was it?
That was probably about 18 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get to the playoffs, though, I want to go around the horn here and ask everyone about the regular season overall. It seemed in the Colonial League, in the EPC, in the boys and the girls, there were a couple really outstanding teams. But then after that, a lot of parity, some good competition, and some very interesting matchups and good games. So, Megan, we'll start with you and your views on the regular season this year.
We'll start with the Colonial League. Southern Lehigh was by far the superior team in the Colonial League. And then after that, you had most of the teams beating up on each other. Mm-hmm. The championship game, I just think, Southern Lehigh won't be challenged. But and as far as the EPC, I think everyone had Becca winning it, but seeing them get tripped up in a couple games, I think was surprising, and I think it made the whole league overall a little bit more competitive.
And I think some people are surprised Central was the one that got in. Some people thought Easton or Northampton, but Central Catholic's the one that's got a battle.
Yeah, Mike Kopp managed to find a way to get his team back there, and not surprised about that.
Yeah. Joe, what were your thoughts of the regular season?
I thought everybody was fairly even. I thought this year was really up for grabs. You had your Becca was the powerhouse that everybody was trying to go after. But everybody else, we beat Central at our place. East Stroudsburg South, what their coach did up there, I was just, they did a great job. I was real proud of what they're doing. But it's up for grabs for anybody.
Yeah. Kyle, your Colonial League was very balanced again this year after Bangor.
after Bangor. I had asked you, I don't remember the last time they lost a Colonial League game.
2016, January 7th. Okay. I just wrote it in my preview.
Okay.
That's why.
I couldn't remember that far back. But, then you look at, the next tier, like a Notre Dame and a Moravian Academy, both had very, very good seasons. But after that, even all the way down the line, you look at Palmerton, Northern Lehigh, 500. Northern Lehigh they played together. That was probably when we went up there, the best team effort I've seen. They played together. They played for each other. And then you look at what Ken Termini has done at Palmerton, turning that around. He has a great young man, and Nate Daugherty just plays. And he's a great leader, plays hard, and gets those guys to play together. But there was a lot of parity. And you looked at our box scores, there was a lot of really close games throughout the league the entire year, other than when a lot of us played Bangor. And they just kind of they reload every year. They just do. And Bron does a great job over there of just kind of getting the talent. Right now they have an injury with his son, with Ben being down. But they kind of reload, and they're...
He's clear to play tomorrow night, by the way. He's going to be back, but I don't think Isaiah Jones will be.
He's not
anytime soon.
Okay, yeah. They can hurt you inside, outside. They just, I wouldn't wouldn't be surprised if they make not only a run, but you look down in districts, then Bangor possibly playing Central. That could be a great game at the end.
Thanks. Keith, we kind of made that transition from having the superstars last year and four or five really outstanding teams. And this year, as we've talked about, especially 6A, it's really wide open.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go back to the Colonial League and piggyback off of what Kyle was saying. I thought it was a great year for the Colonial League in the sense that some people that we didn't expect, and I just wrote about in tomorrow's paper, Ken, how do you pronounce that name?
Termini?
I pronounce it various ways.
Believe me, he responds to anything.
I'll call him Kenny T. He did a wonderful job with the Blue Bombers, and they went from two wins to a District 11 spot. Northern Lehigh had been down. I think they were like 0 for the season a couple years ago. They're in the playoffs. Northwestern broke a drought for districts. And then you had perennial powers like Saucon and Salisbury kind of take a dip this year. Now, Salisbury did lose Jack Reichenbach, and I think they were struggling even before he went out. But the team that we expect to be there is still there, and that is Bangor. And I think when you asked me to sum up the league, it kind of did, at least at the top, go as we expected. I predicted a Central Becca EPC final, and I predicted a Bangor Colonial League final, but I don't think I had Southern Lehigh in the championship game, which they will remind me of, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure to Tannis as well.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, and then we have a blog, too, of the predictions we had from over the summer and from before basketball season started. One of the predictions was Becca Central actually was going to be in the girls' final, which I hadn't forgotten about until I did some research and went back through some of our old shows. I didn't do all the predictions. It was just predictions on the show and interviews we've done from over the summer and then in the fall before the basketball season. So you can check that out on the website and see how many predictions our panelists over the last couple months got correct. Before we talk about the playoffs, the buzz last night was about the district playoffs because there seems to be some up in the air as far as which teams make 6A. Kyle was trying to explain it to me. He had the tape measure and the slide rule trying to explain how this works. I think I understand it, but does anyone want to try to take a stab at explaining the 6A team, how Nazareth, the team that is in the eighth slot, right now on the district website, they're not in as far as clinching it, but it looks like they can be in, even though they're ahead of Liberty and Pleasant Valley that already have clinched the spot. So do you want to explain it, or do you want to also get your views on this?
I want Kyle, but it's basically the way we were used to it for so many years, where the minimum was 500 in the league or 500 overall. Mm-hmm. You have to forget about it. I mean, that still will guarantee you a spot, but you can get in by this very complicated, which extremely complicated power ranking, which takes into account wins, who you lost. Not only, I believe, Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, it takes into account, you know, who you beat and who you lost to, but even what they do.
Correct.
Your
opponent's winning percentage. But, I mean, you look in our district, in 4A and 11-4A, we're in a sub-regional where I believe it's Octorara is going to be our 8 seed. Because they have to fill out the bracket.
We combine with a couple with District 1
right.
In a couple cases,
we're with
right?
District 1, and they get two automatic qualifiers.
Octorara is 8-14, but they got a spot.
Correct.
They're
the 8th seed, and it does depend on power rankings and stuff like that. But, again, the criteria is always 500, no matter what. If you get 500, you're in. But you can get in if you're under 500, depending on your power rankings and where you kind of fall. Mm-hmm. So it is. It's from what I've always been told is that it's the competitive. They're trying to get more competitive, more teams in playoffs, more games. That's why we went to the 6A system, and it's not perfect yet. I mean, but they go, you know, all these situations, and I'm sure they'll get it ironed out, and people understand it a little bit better, hopefully, in the next couple of years.
And I think Easton got in that way last year.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Correct.
Tom Holt sent out an email, and I thought it was clear the way he set it out, and he even included the handbook from District 11. And it says it goes to PowerPoint. So once you get in, it's all structured with PowerPoints. Because that was another question that people were bringing up. Well, how can Liberty have an 11-11 record, Pleasant Valley's an 11-11, but Nazareth, if they're in, they're going to be ranked ahead of those two teams with a 10-12 record. But it all comes down to PowerPoints, which they've been very clear about. So therefore, Nazareth, that has more PowerPoints, they would be seated higher.
Depends on who you play during the season. I know our schedule, depending on who we play, depending on what division they're in, you get so many points. We played a Christmas tournament and played two teams from New Jersey. We don't receive the power points because they're out of state. So they have a mathematical formula. It seems to work. It gets it right, and it's going to work
its way
out.
But I tell you what, I'm not going to do it anymore. I will not conjecture, or try to guess, because with this power ranking, it is so hard to explain to people, and I just tell people, just wait and see if you're in. I mean, obviously, you're right. That old formula does work in terms of 500 league, 500 overall, but I didn't think Nazareth was in, and I'm the guy, you could thank me, by the way, for Tommy sending that out, because I irritated him. Hard to believe, I know. I irritated Tommy.
This was a very clear email when he sent out.
I was in the office the other night, and I said, Tommy, isn't it something that Nazareth didn't make it? What do you mean they didn't make it? They're going to be in. And I said, what do you mean? They were like a game out. They didn't get five. No, don't you read that handbook. So he sent it out, the next day.
I saw that was very clear. Megan, what are your thoughts on the whole expanded formats, going to six classifications, and how they rank the teams?
From the girls' perspective, I just think it is really, in a sense, watered down a lot of the competition. You know, when you look at the 5A girls, there's four teams right there. So there's just not as much competition as there would if there was less divisions, the four divisions. It's a trickle-down effect. It goes all the way into the state playoffs because those first two rounds of the state playoffs, last year, were not very competitive with a lot of games. Yeah. So, it's hard to – you would think once you get to the state playoffs, the games are going to be more competitive. But with this, it's just not the case. I know it gives a lot more teams opportunities to play in the district playoffs, to play in the state playoffs, but, it's taken away some of the more competitive games.
Yeah, and I think, Kyle, you mentioned Bethlehem Catholic's probably going to have, cakewalk for the first couple rounds of state playoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
on the boys' side.
I haven't seen some of the teams there, but, I mean, just I've seen them on RCN, play before, and they're a phenomenal team right now. I mean, you look at that matchup, Becca Central, it's what you kind of want in a championship game. But, in my opinion, they're just that far above than anybody else in 4A.
Yeah.
It's going to be really tough. You look at their possible first two rounds, opening round and second round. I mean, it's really tough to kind of, say that teams are going to give them a run. And like was mentioned already, they get to the state playoffs. How's that first round going to be?
You make a good point. It cost them last year. They had nothing but routes.
Correct.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Yeah. In the District 11 tournament, and then it was a Nanny Coke came down there, and blue-collar type. They brought a lot of people down to Freedom, first-round game, and Becca had a lead in that game and thought, well, we're going to roll over this team like we did in the District 11 tournament, and it didn't happen. And I think Megan's right. I think you got to have better competition, and there's gaps here. I think last year, didn't Southern Lee have a long gap where they had scrimmage somebody in there?
They're going to have it again this year.
You're used to playing two and three times a week. You're used to this schedule. You're used to staying on a roll. And then all of a sudden, you're going to get a lot of days off. Now, sometimes it can be beneficial when somebody's hurt.
Yeah.
But if I was a coach, I'd rather stay in my normal rhythm.
Absolutely.
Kyle, you mentioned the big Becca Central game. We'll start there. Keith, you were at the game last night. We can get everyone's thoughts on the EPC. Great games across the board. The one girls game was not all that competitive, but overall EPC tournament has been very competitive. Keith, we'll start with you at the game you saw. That was the Central East Stroudsburg South. And then, of course, your thoughts on Allen Becca, which also went down to the wire, literally.
Yeah, well, that was by a split second, Becca. And sometimes you need a break like that for Becca to lesson learned there. And they got away with a close call there. But Central looks very good. They were challenged. I was so impressed by East Stroudsburg South. That was my first look at them. I know they were missing a kid by the name of Greg Eck.
Yeah. who was phenomenal.
And you wonder how much better they would be with him because they were awfully good last night. And I have my new 6A favorite. Probably give them the jinx here, but I really think South is going to win the 6A bracket. They are very talented. They have size. They have speed. They're well coached by Sean Mumford, and I was just so impressed with them and that Anderson kid, and they kept coming. Central seemed to have
knocked them down. They would hit a big three, and here comes South right back with a three of their own or a three-point play. But Central, having been through that war, it's going to benefit them going against DeBeka. I was there. Were you there the first meeting between the Golden Hawks?
No.
It was a great game, the best game of the regular season. Becca prevailed with their size inside. Two on one, basically, Kyle Young and Ryan Young against Keyshawn Kelman. Central made threes early, but then Beck increased their defensive pressure, and that turned the tide on them in that first game. So Central's so dependent on a three-point shot. If they make their threes, they could beat anybody. If they're not going, they could be in trouble. They could be in trouble, especially against a very strong team like Bethel Catholic.
Joe, your thoughts on the EPC semifinals?
I'm going to piggyback off of Keith. I mean, East Stroudsburg South, what Coach Mumford has done has just been amazing with that team. He's got role players, and then doing it without Eck, and then, you know, Jeremiah Anderson just showing up out of nowhere. I mean, I don't know why you watch him play, Keith. He reminds me a lot of Anthony Ross. Mm-hmm. The kid doesn't take bad shots. He goes in, you know, plays within the offense. And they got three role players that just, I mean, they don't even look to shoot. They get the ball. They play their role. And I was very impressed with them. And, you know, they're my sleeper to win districts. I think he's done a great job, Coach Mumford, with them. And I'm not sure if they'll get Eck back before that, but he's had a great year.
He's still in that brace.
Is he?
And
he
didn't look like a guy that was ready to get on the floor anytime soon.
But, yeah, like I said, he's just so fast. The other kids, they rebound. They rebound well. But they're, you know, it's, you know, when you're at this, at the high school level, it's so much different than just, you know, rolling basketball out and playing AAU. And these kids play together, mm-hmm. and they accept what the coach is telling them. But game plans, they follow them. And it's mm-hmm. just, it's amazing to see that.
I want to get your take, though, on Central Becca, because you, and I know you didn't have the season you wanted, and as a Husky alum, I'm kind of down, you know, I'm a little down about that, too. But you knocked off Central. I know it was a non-league game. They had played Allen the night before. And you held them to like 37 points or something like that.
But again,
how did you do it?
But like you said, you live and die by the 3-pointer.
Yeah.
And that's gonna, you know, that, you know, they could be in a close game with Becca, but again, you live and die by the 3-pointer. And if you're not making them, you know, the young brothers and Justin Paz will make you hurt. I mean, you look at Becca and you look at that team, and it's like looking at a Division II, Division III team out there. I mean, you know, you got 6'8", 6'9", you got guards that can score. It's just they're a powerhouse team. And but again, like you're right, Keith, you know, you live and die by a 3-pointer, and if it's not going to fall for them against Becca, it could hurt them.
And everybody talks about the Youngs, and does, you know, when you're that big, yeah, you're going to get a lot of attention.
But they forget.
But Paz is phenomenal, yeah. too. But Kuhn is very good, and then the first game,
Gardner is good.
Yeah, Gardner had a great summer, and all of a sudden he came off the map. And then the first game with Central, and I just looked up at the stats. Ryan Santana, who was he an Allen product? Did he transfer from Allen?
Yes, the twin.
Ryan Santana was really the gave him the lift they needed. He gave him 10 points, what nobody saw coming, mm-hmm. and that kind of tilted the game too. These are two deep teams, and maybe even though Central can put out, I mean, these big guys too, off, you know, and a couple of key guys off the bench like Kratzer. Mm-hmm. You know, Becca's deeper than a lot of people think.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, they are.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll have some more keys to the game for the Becca Central Boys and Girls Championship, and also talk some Colonial League basketball straight ahead. Right now it's time for the trivia question and a chance to give you a shot at tonight's prize. It does involve high school basketball, so here's tonight's question. Banger has won the Colonial League Boys Championship 5 of the last 6 years. Name the other school to win it once during that same span. So we're looking for the only other school besides Banger that has won the Colonial League Boys Basketball title over the last 6 years. And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Call callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, our annual preview of the EPC and Colonial League Boys and Girls Championships. Again, we will have full coverage of those games. The Boys and Girls EPC will be live with Gary Laubach and Tom Stout starting at 6 p.m. tomorrow night. And then on tape delay, we'll have the Colonial League Girls and the Colonial League Boys Championships. Our special guests, Kyle Hutnick from Penargill, Joe Jarjuice, head coach at Deerif, Megan Kane, former head coach and assistant at the college level, and Keith Groller, of course, joining me. Before we get to some more keys to the game for the EPC and then talk Colonial League basketball, we have someone on the phone line, Terry from Allentown. Town wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Terry, welcome to Sports Talk. Hello, Terry.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you doing this evening?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. We're doing good. Always good talking basketball this time of year. Trivia question, Bangor had won five of the last 6 years. Who's the other team that has won the Colonial League over the last 6 years? Your guess?
My guess is Salisbury.
Salisbury's had some very good teams over the years, but that is incorrect. Sorry, Terry.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks
right.
for giving us a call. So
thanks,
that question
Terry.
Still out there. Bangor has won five of the last 6 years. Who is the only other team to win a Colonial League boys title in that six-year span? Continuing with the EPC, I want to get Megan's thoughts on the girls. And I think you touched on something early in the first segment. Easton and Freedom proved that Becca could be beaten, because it seemed the last couple of years there was this invincibility around them, that you can't, you know, they're very solid, they're tough defensively, and, you know, you could see teams were coming in, like, nervous, and were very tentative. But now, I think some people have momentum, including Central Catholic, because after that game the other night, they seemed that they wanted to take on, you know, one of the best teams in the state.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's Central Becca. I think that's a big rivalry, so I think that the Central girls will be ready. You know, I think seeing Becca get beat, got beat a couple times, so that gives Central a little bit more confidence going into the game. I know Becca beat them, you know, during the regular season, but, you know, the playoffs, Central seems to be peaking at the right time, and I think it'll be a competitive game, but I do think Becca will pull out the win.
Is Becca as good as they have been the last couple years?
I don't think they're as good.
Don't seem as deep. Maybe that's the right
Yeah. I think some of the kids have struggled shooting wise. You know, I know, like, you know, Natalie Ryan sometimes offensively has struggled a little bit, but you know, you still have Hope Brown, you have Morgan Olosky, and you have Medina. So they still have a you know, a good group. I think losing Luna last year was a big loss to them. They really don't have that inside presence that they had in the past year. So I think that has been the difference this year for them.
Well, I got to see Central girls for the first time last night, and I came away, and I know your color analyst and our good friend Tommy Stout tweeted out how impressed he was with the Vikettes last night. That they just shut down what I thought Freedom was probably going to win that game, because I kept hearing about Sylphies, and she was a legit, you know, legit with 20 points, and Kyra Jefferson, I think, was like first team all league, and she was really a non-factor in the game because Central took her out. And the Vikettes have a lot of weapons. I mean, Kosas, I would ask Mike Kopp after the game, I said, Mike, she always hit those threes. No, she's been struggling all season. Well, if they get her going.
She hit three in a row.
And Airprey, I hope that I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes, Airprey.
But you know, she's been their leading scorer, and she basically could concentrate on the defensive side and rebound the ball last night. I know Becca's good, and Becca's favored, and you know, and they're going to be tough to beat, but I really like that Central team and how they were playing, especially last night, and they seem to be in a nice groove right now. And you know that rivalry, it's a special, special rivalry. And a lot of people lump those two together, But they generally don't like each other very much, and it's a very competitive situation between the coaching staffs, between everybody, and I look for a great game to get things started over at Liberty on Friday night.
Do you think Central's going to have that same approach, trying to slow it down and take the wind out
of
Becca's sails?
I definitely think that, because I think Becca wants to, they have the guards, they want to get out there and push the ball, and you know, Central definitely wants to slow it down. And Arapre is the key. She's, you know, that's where they have their advantage. So if she can, you know, control the boards and the paint and, you know, hit some shots inside, I think it will be a competitive game. You know, but they definitely have to play well.
Yeah. And the other thing I think Keith mentioned, they have a lot of versatility. Arapre, not just a great defender, but she was scoring at different mm-hmm. parts of the floor. Kosits was hitting from the outside. And they could drive and make some nice passes inside too.
Yeah.
Which, of course, Becca's been doing, too. So that'll be an interesting matchup.
And remember, Mike Kopp, he doesn't need me to advertise.
Hey, do you know that he and Tom Stava combined for over 1,000 wins? Tom mentioned that about 16 times last night during the broadcast.
That's a good line by Tommy. Yeah. Why don't you come up with a line that like that once in a while?
I was trying to get him to stop saying that.
But anyway, hey. He hasn't forgotten how to coach in like 1 or 2 years here. I mean, Mike, and he's got a great staff there. They have a great staff, and you know, you knew that program was going to come back and eventually. And boy, he's got that thing rolling right now. And you know, they have a chance, I guess, to play. Unlike the boys, where Beck and Central are going in a different classifications. I believe they're both in 4A.
Yeah. They met last year for the championship.
We could see them meet a couple times here yet.
Yeah. Kyle, I didn't give you a chance to get your thoughts on Becca Central boys.
Well, it's a pretty good rivalry. I mean, I've been through it, being a Bethlehem Catholic graduate as well, and you know, my father being a head coach there for a long time. It's an intense rivalry. They don't, like Keith said, they don't generally like each other, and it doesn't matter what the records are at any point. And this year, you got two of both of them with you know, outstanding records, and I'm sure that'll heighten the intensity a little bit. But anytime those two teams play, and it doesn't matter what sport it is.
You got that right. They call it the Holy War for a reason. And Kyle, remember those, I mean, some of my most great memories of like the 90s or whatever were early 2000s when your dad was at Becca and Ron Hassler was at Central. Yeah. You talk about chess matches unfolding on a court.
Some of those game plans were very, very in-depth, mm-hmm. scouting reports and, you know, going into Rockne Hall. You know, the lights were a little bit dimmer, and we played them three, four times a year. Like mm-hmm. you said, you played them twice during the regular season.
Usually for the district title, too.
And then you would play them in leagues, and then you'd play them for districts, and every single one of them, the house was packed, and it was it's as intense a rivalry if you've never been a part of it. It's as good as any rivalry you'll ever be a part of, and especially in high school sports.
You know, it's interesting you guys mentioned the Holy War, because I remember talking to a couple of the seniors last year at Cedar Beach. And I said about, you know, you finished the year strong. You know, obviously you're going to be one of the favorites this year. How do you look at this year? And a couple of the seniors were like, you know, we know no one likes us. We know we're the marked team. Everyone doesn't like us. We're not real thrilled with Bethlehem Catholic either. But we're going to go out and we want to prove some people wrong. And they've been playing with a chip on their shoulder, not overconfident. But, I mean, do you think Central might have an advantage in terms of they've had that drive, whereas Becca's kind of been, all right, they're the team to beat. They've been cruising through most of their games, whereas Central's had to work through some of their, a few more games than Bethlehem Catholic has had to do that.
Well, I mean, Dennis is a wonderful coach. I mean, I know Dennis played for my father. My dad was a coach at DeSales. Well, it was DeSales was Allentown at that point. But Dennis will have him ready. He'll have a great game plan. Mm-hmm. I know they live and die by the three, but I mean he'll be ready for that game, 100%. They always seem to, you know, whichever team is up or down, whoever you think has the edge, the other team's ready for what they're going to do.
It was your father, you believe it or not. Now Central won a title more recently with Muhammad Abdurrahman a couple of years ago. Muhammad Ali Abdurrahman, who's now a senior, can't believe it, at Michigan. Yeah. But it's been since, I want to say, 2003, the first year of the Lehigh Valley Conference, that Becca has won a league championship. Your father went down, I think the championship game was at Rockne.
At Central,
and you knocked off Parkland for the first LBC title. So it's been a while for a league championship on the boys' side for the Golden Hawks, and I know they'd love to end that drought.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to the phone line. Steve from Allentown wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Again, Banger has won 5 of the last 6 titles in the Colonial League boys' side. Who's the only other team during that 6-year span to win it? Steve, What's your guess?
Yes.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing this evening?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Talking basketball. Steve, what's your guess? We need a Colonial League team here.
My guess is Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is absolutely correct. Good job, Steve. You excited about the championships tomorrow night?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. All right, we'll be in contact with you in a couple minutes about the prize. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you.
All right, before we move on to Colonial League, any other EPC thoughts, boys or girls, heading into tomorrow night's game?
Well, it's kind of a... I thought it was perfect that it was Ash Wednesday last night because the Vikings all had, you know, like a little cross. And it just kind of fed into, like, their warrior mentality, mm-hmm. Megan. I mean, they just, like, said, we don't care. We're gonna put it all out there. We're going to – and I like the fact that they had that on their foreheads. And they just unified mm-hmm. and went out there determined. And they're going to have that same – gutty effort, I think, for them to have a chance. Let's face it, I think Beck is still the more talented team. Mm-hmm. But I think if they get the loose balls, they scrap like crazy on the boards, and they hit some big shots on the outside, maybe Kosic can mm-hmm. continue what she did last night. What do you think? You
I
think
agree
they have
with
a chance?
That. I agree with that 100%. And I think, you know, you said this earlier too, they have one of the best coaches, you know, that are leading them right now. So, you know, that should also give them some confidence that, you know, that they can do this. And you know, the playoffs, you know, anything could happen. It's a new season for a lot of teams like Central. This is a, you know, a new chance to beat someone like Becca and to get back at them from the regular season. So, you know, I think if they do those things, I definitely think they have a chance. And I think it will be a great game.
All right, we're going to talk about the Colonial League Boys and Girls Championship in just a second. But right now, it's Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Growler's Grumblings, where Mr. Growler sounds off and talk about anything and everything on his sports mind. Keith?
Well, speaking of Bethel Catholic, it's been a great year for the Golden Hawks. They have a heck of an athletic program, and their football team obviously went a long way. I want to salute ever so briefly their wrestling state championship team. I think it was 6 and 7 years, Christian. Maybe you could help me out with
six
that.
Six out of seven.
Of course, they lost the epic match to Nazareth in the state finals last year. I want to salute them. But I want to get back to, this is the time of year that a lot of folks sign up for their spring sports. A lot of folks sign their young people up for baseball, softball, soccer, AAU basketball, whatever. Again, and I do this every so often, I got to do it again because things have run amok again in our society with parents who think that sports is just an automatic ticket to a college scholarship. It is not. I'm going to say it for the 1,000th time. College is there. College dollars are there for the very elite, very select few. Go into your son or daughter's sports season with very valuable things in mind. You want them to learn how to work with others. You want them to learn about adversity. You want them to learn the fundamentals of their support. You don't necessarily go into anything like an AAU season or a summer baseball season or intramural, whatever you want to, volleyball, whatever, with that college scholarship in mind. If you work hard, you're dedicated, it can happen. And you're going to get some dollars, perhaps. But the odds are against you getting a lot of money for a college scholarship. So as you sign up your kid, I hope you're doing it for the right reasons, to get them involved, to giving a teaching tool, a learning lesson, to maybe make some friends and have some fun, and not necessarily signing them up with the college dollars in mind. Because, folks, it is just not there as much as you think it is.
All right. And Keith, real quick, do you want to explain why you're suspending your hoops challenge again at the morning call? Because I was behind by like 9 games.
I wanted to stop your momentum.
And then I started to come back. I'm within 3 games, and now you're coming up with excuses. Why isn't it no contest this week, right?
We are coming back. The season's almost over. We have one more round. When the District 11 matchups are announced, we're going to have one more playoff round. And
this is really sad. You're afraid I might come close to you in the standings.
Like a good
coach.
So you suspended
it for a month and a half now.
When the opponent makes a run, you call a timeout. That's what I did.
I had a chance to actually come close to you this year. So next week.
Yeah, next week it resumes.
If I remember.
Monday the 18th. I'll send you the picks.
All right. We'll have more RCN Sports Talk, and the contest resumes next week. Our show continues in just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special guests, Megan Kane, Joe Jarjuice, Kyle Hutnick, joining Keith and myself. Guys, did you want to chime in with Rollers Grumbling? We had some good stories about AAU. Any of these stories you'd like to say on the air? No?
Well, I mean, I'll touch on it a little
bit. Please
do, Joe. I don't have a problem touching on it. I mean, and it's not just parents. I just think, you know, you go down to Cedar Beach for our summer league that we play on at Cedar Beach, and you're down there. You used to drop your kid off. They played basketball, or a coach picked them up. You go down there, and there's like 1,000 people down there watching it. But they think because what you're playing in the summer, that's going to translate to the winter. Yeah. And they forget that you get scouted in the winter time. You know, people are watching videos. They're it's different. In AAU basketball, you're getting five studs and you're putting them on the court, and you're filling in. So you can't translate from AAU summer league basketball and think you're going to have a great basketball season because you did so well in there. And then again, in our area, you know, AAU, if you're not being sponsored by Reebok and Nike, if they're not paying for you, if you're paying to play AAU, you're really not on a real AAU team. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot different. You want to drive 2 hours and beat a team by 40 and your kid scored 20 points and you come back in the area and say, my kid scored 20 in AAU. You know, we all seen what AAU basketball really is. I mean, Talik from Allen, he went and played for an AAU team, but it's not for everybody. And
it has worked out, and you noted. I mean, yeah. Tyrese Martin as well. I mean, and they got some opportunities by playing AAU that mm-hmm. probably had they not done that, obviously they wouldn't get those opportunities. One's going to Rhode Island, and one's at Central Connecticut State, but. Yeah. So there is positives, and I've sort of opened my eyes to it and realized that it can be a valuable tool, but within reason. You got to make sure you're with a good program where, you know, they're not fleecing you first and foremost, and second of all, we just put it in proper perspective. That doesn't, like as Megan said during the break, just because you play AAU basketball doesn't entitle you to certain rights or privileges when the high school. And at some point, the parents have got to be willing to cut loose. They can't keep coaching their kid all the time. They may be able to do that in travel league softball. They may be able to do that in travel league field hockey. They may be able to do that in volleyball or whatever. But at some point, you're going to have to cut your kid loose and let other people make those decisions at the high school level, and you better get used to it at college. Yeah. Although I know that even college guys now get hassled, and they want to recruit people from far away so the parents aren't always there.
The level of competition, too, like you said, where the AAU teams are playing, mm-hmm. the level of competition, and there's hidden agendas. You got to understand, like you said, with if they're paying. You're paying to play in AAU. You probably have an agenda. It's more of an individual agenda rather than we're here in high school teams. We're trying to build a team and a family where a lot of these AAUs, no matter if they travel or whatever, they still have more of an individual agenda. So it does hurt once you get into the regular season, that individual mindset rather than the team mindset a lot.
My favorite is trying to watch a kid. He's trying to listen to the coach telling the kids to play zone, and the parents are telling them to play up on him. And the kid's like, who do I look at? My dad's telling me to do this. The coach is telling me. And meanwhile, someone drives right on by you. But.
I mean, listen, I got three little kids, and they're my twins are 10 and my daughter's 11. So I've seen them play. Kids at that age, they are great teammates. Mm-hmm. They are great teammates. And they're having fun, and it's fun playing. But as soon as they get to that certain age, when somebody tells them that they're shining or you know, you're doing this, then they become not so good teammates anymore. You know, and that, like I was saying, that then that family, the whole high school, even the rivalries, Keith, you know, when you're trying to have a rivalry game, that's out the window anymore.
Yeah.
Kids are going wherever they want to go. It's ruined a lot of the family atmosphere in locker rooms at high schools.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of the problem is I think a lot of the parents, I think Keith said it best, they need to take a step back and let their kids be coached, mm-hmm. you know, because those coaches are with these kids every day, see what they do at practice. And if they go home and those parents are telling these kids, oh, well, you should shoot here, you should do this, and the coach is telling them something different, because again, the coach has a different perspective. The coach is looking at it from the team, not the individual. And a lot of parents, you know, can't separate the individual from the team. And that's what AAU is. It's all about them. It's all individual. Mm-hmm. And they don't teach those concepts.
All right, some great points by all of you. I want to catch real quick your thoughts on the Colonial League. We'll start with the girls. Megan, I'm looking at Southern Lehigh's season. I think they lost one game by 8, one by 11, one by 14, and then a bunch of games they've won by 25, 35, 54. Yeah. Am I going to have trouble keeping John Leone awake tomorrow night? Or is, you know, Southern Lehigh just going to have their way? Wilson's had a great run. They were their sixth seed. It's been a great year for Sondrine Glovis and her team. But is there any chance this is close for any length of time tomorrow?
It'll be close when they tip the ball off. You know, okay. That's I think if Southern Lehigh comes to play, I don't think it'll be close at all. Mm-hmm. You know, what Southern Lehigh has done the past 4 years in the Colonial League, I think people need to really take a look at that. They have not lost a game.
Yeah.
You know, they and the games haven't been close that they've been winning. So, you know, that's great. That's quite the accomplishment. And if they, you know, like I said, play anywhere near their potential, yeah. The game won't be close. But you know, there is some concern with that, because as they move forward, you know, a lot of these blowouts, yeah. They don't have that competition that they need. Like a lot of these EPC teams, they play tough games every night. It's competitive. And you know, when you don't have that and then you get into a close game, you know, it's out of your comfort zone. So that's my only concern with Southern Lehigh, is as they move forward. But as far as tomorrow night, I think, you know, they're looking at their fourth straight Colonial League championship.
You know, you won't say it, but you kind of got that thing started down there in the right direction. How did you do it, Megan? How did you do it? What was your approach?
You know, teaching team basketball, you know, understanding that, you know, we are family and it is about the team, and getting kids to understand their roles. You know, not every kid can be the superstar, but I need kids that understand their role, understand what they can bring to the team, whether it's defense or whether it's being that supporter or that practice player. And I think once you have kids buying into those roles and believing and understanding the value of everybody on that team, you know, from the superstar to that eighth, ninth, tenth person on the bench, you know, and practice. You know, it's not just about picking up a ball and playing pickup. It's doing those drills, putting that extra time in the off season. And it's not just AAU. You know, we were in the gym, you know, doing things all summer, doing those drills, doing the off the court stuff. You know, and it just has continued ever since then. And you know, Coach Cooper has done a great job, and they're fun to watch. And if you haven't seen them play, watch them play, because you're not going to see a team in the Colonial League like this for quite some time.
By the way, very few coaches were more prepared than Megan. When we would talk to her, she'd pull out like a notebook of that. Okay, this player is going to do this. Then they're going to do this. You are about as well prepared as a coach as I've seen.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. On the boys' side, Kyle Banger's a heavy favorite. Southern Lehigh, I've seen them play three really good games this year. They came from behind twice against Caddy during the regular season. Keith was at that game as well. They played two very good games in the league playoffs. Can they rise to the occasion one more time and stop Banger from winning their fourth straight?
It's going to be really tough. I think Ben's done a great job. I know at one point during the season, talking with Ben, they were 4-9, 5-9, something like that. But they felt like they were in great shape. He does a great job of, as they go along, they just keep getting better. I think they can keep it close. I know the first time they played him, mm-hmm. It was a pretty close game. Mm-hmm.
He ended up by 11, but it was close.
Yeah, so. It was a closer game, I think, than the score indicated. But I mean, you look Banger. They have so many weapons. You take one thing away, they go inside. You take the inside away, they knock down threes, and they do it in spurts. They do it quickly. Our last game against them, you know, it's 10-11. It's a close game, and all of a sudden you turn around, they get a steal and a three. They get a stop and a run out, and all of a sudden you look, and in a 2-3-minute spurt, they can put 9, 10, 11 points on you, and you're calling timeout and looking up at the scoreboard going, you know, uh-oh, where do we go from here? But, I mean, you got, you know, Jones, Holland, if he plays tomorrow, I'm not sure, you know. But
his father is the coach, and he was like, mm-hmm. well, if we play him, but it could be too early, and he doesn't want to, he wants some, and here's what I'm going to say this, Kyle, and you could speak this, because your father had the same mentality.
whether he was at Beck or Easton. It's great. Ben's happy he's in the league championship, especially this year when it was kind of unexpected.
Rebuilding, yeah.
But both of these guys want to push their program to the next level. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be content with winning just the Colonial League, especially Bangor. I mean, they've been now, they could be doing it for the fifth time in 6 years here. They're geared. They want that district title. They want to get the states. They're looking for bigger things. And Ben wants to get that mindset change at Southern Lehigh, right, much like the girls have. Where the Colonial League's great, but they want to push forward. They want to win districts. They want to be playing into March. Yeah. Middle of February is not good enough. And I think Ben's trying to get that done, and Braun definitely wants that with Bangor.
Yeah, I mean, you look at potential matchups down the line. Bangor Central could be a really good matchup in the districts, but, Southern, supposed to be a rebuilding year for them, but they just kind of got better as the season went along. I mean, Ben will have them ready to play tomorrow. I just don't think they might, I'd be rooting for Ben. He's a good friend of mine, but
he's a Beckett product, right?
Yes, he
played for
is.
Your father,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I played with Ben. Yeah. Ben played for my father, and I've known him, growing up through middle school and everything and playing.
But he's trying. I like the fact, I'll say it again, he's trying to change the mindset down. And there's a malaise a little bit in Southern League. We're Southern League, we're good in the Colonial League, but we really don't often make a run. But he's trying to change that mindset, and I think Mr. Cooper's trying to do the same thing with the girls, right?
I think that's the toughest thing for Southern Lehigh, because when you look across the board at all the sports at Southern Lehigh, they dominate the Colonial League. They've especially on the girls' side. When you look at all the championships, whether it's field hockey, volleyball, soccer,
softball,
I mean, you name it, they've won the championship. But it's a Colonial League championship. You want to push beyond that. You want to win the district. You want to advance in the state playoffs because you know you're playing against the better teams and to prove people wrong that saying, well, even though we play in the Colonial League, it's not the EPC, but we're still a pretty talented team and we can compete with those other teams.
And then you look at Benton, the schedule they had this year. They played a lot of really tough opponents in their non-league schedule as well. Crossover games. So that I'm sure that's prepared them. And just honestly, Bangor's been, they just reload all the time, and they're, I'd be very shocked if Bangor didn't figure out a way to pull it out tomorrow as well.
All right, we'll have our final comments with our special guests coming up in just a moment as we head to break. The Wilson boys basketball team has had a great season to date, and they still have some great expectations ahead for the district playoffs. Sports Talk videographer Mike Kingsley caught up with the Warriors after their 21-point win over Caddy last week to get their thoughts on their season.
We have no size, so we don't have a starter over 6 foot, so it's basically our quickness and our athleticism. We really don't have a lot of length, so the opportunity that we have really comes from trying to make the most out of our quickness and athletic ability.
The strength of our team is that we're a fast team. We're not tall players, but we can shoot the ball very well. We believe each other and we trust each other in every offensive set. So our strength is the shooting and the speed that we have.
Definitely, we're a smaller team, so we like to shoot a lot. But it's probably our defensive intensity. We like to get people out of their game.
Some of the keys are definitely the shooting. We have to be on point with the shooting, like I said. Our defensive intensity has to be there. Just we have to be on with everything we do as we get deeper into the playoffs.
All right, time for the roundtable part of our show. A variety of different topics for our guests. In the last few minutes of our program, we'll try to go mini rapid fire here with some of our topics. Topic number one, biggest standout player during the regular season. Megan, we'll start with you. Who stood out in your mind this regular season?
Well, I got to go with my Southern Lehigh girl, Olivia Snyder. She's a junior.
24 the other night.
She scored 1,000 points. She had 24. I just know how hard this kid works, and if anyone knew how hard she works, you would appreciate the time that she's put in and what she's doing on the court and the fact that she has another year and her team's in another conference championship. She's stood out in my mind.
Yeah, great choice. Joe?
I'd have to say Jeremiah Anderson from East Stroudsburg South. I mean, like I said, he put that team on his shoulders, and he's been amazing.
Kyle?
Isaiah Graves from Catasauqua. I talked
to him. You held him to 23. Yeah, that was pretty good the other night.
We had the lead in the fourth quarter, And we looked at the book afterwards, and I said, "Man, I thought we did a really good job on him. How'd he do?" And we held him to 23.
Yeah,
I thought that was great. But he just gets it in bunches. He's as good as it gets.
Keith,
in Elwood of Northampton, Northampton had a great year, kind of petered out at the end here at the regular season. Hopefully, they can get it back in districts. But Elwood's going to Kutztown, phenomenal player.
All right, biggest standout during the league playoffs over the last week, which player stood out in your mind the most? Kyle?
Well, I'll go with Southern Lehigh as a team. I thought they played well together. I mean, to hold Moravian Academy to 41 points. Yeah. The guys don't realize that Moravian Academy can score. It's not just Jordan Holmquist. I mean, they got a lot of parts there that they can put up a lot of points to hold them to 41 points. I would see that their team effort was kind of the individual thing, the standout thing that I took away.
Yep. Joe?
I'd have to say Ryan Young. I mean, the kid's he's not just big. He can step out. He can shoot jumpers. He's just a standout player. I mean, he's Division I player, and it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be hard for a lot of people to stop him. You know, through districts and in the league championship.
Yeah. Megan?
You know, I think Kosis from Central Catholic hit some shots the other night. Coming out of her slump, and I think she's gonna be the key moving forward. So I think she's the biggest standout right now.
Yeah, I was coming off the bench too the other night. That's surprising.
Kind of stay with the same school, but the different sport there. Boys basketball, Jay Vaughn. I know he is first team all league, but I don't think people appreciate how good he is handling the ball, kind of running the show, hitting big threes when needed, taking it to the hole, and getting rebounds and steals. Jay Vaughn from Central Catholic.
All right, topic number three, who's a sleeper come district playoff time? We're going to be off the next 2 weeks because there'll be basketball the next two Thursdays on RCN. So which sleeper team should we keep an eye on? Keith, we'll start with you.
Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, I don't know if they're a sleeper, but people don't respect them down here because they don't see them. That's East Stroudsburg South. But I'm going to go with somebody that's off the chart right now, and I'm going to go with Emmaus. I mean, I think Emmaus, getting Zabel back healthy, I think they're capable of a mini run here. I don't know if they're going to win districts or anything like that, but don't sleep on them. If they have the pieces there, if they could play consistently for a couple good games in a row, I think Emmaus could surprise.
You said the C word. I've been hearing that a lot this year. Megan, there's a sleeper team for you.
For a sleeper, I think maybe Freedom. I think they lost a tough one from the other night. So, hopefully they'll rebound and come back in the 6A bracket.
All right, 10 seconds, Joe and Kyle, your sleeper teams?
I would say East Stroudsburg South and Easton. I think Ben Child's done a great job with Easton also this year. I know they just lost a close one. Didn't score that many points, but I think they'll bounce back.
And Kyle?
Northwestern. They got a great guard with Yadish. I mean, he can hurt you from the outside and really get everybody involved. I think they might be able to win
round
game.
Our thanks to Kyle, Joe, Megan, and, of course, make sure you catch Keith's articles in the Morning Call. We'll see you 3 weeks from tonight. March 8th will be our next live edition of Sports Talk. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.